Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Houston. Texans played a football game, won a football game. How good was the caliber of competition? D'Amico Ryans is teeing off on the media after the media teed off on him last week. This is the drama I live for. Rockets played basketball. Kind of a lackluster NFL slate last night, yesterday. But we'll talk about it. And lots going on in college football. You know who I really feel bad for today, Joe?
Who's that?
Brian Kelly and his family.
Meh. I guess.
His family. I just wanted a cheap way to use the accent.
His fam.
I saw a tweet where he's going to go to UCLA and he's going to talk like a surfer, bro.
I mean, it's very on brand for Brian Kelly. Just go where, you know, no one else wants you now and then come up with a fake accent. You're good to go.
Yeah. Should be a fun show, though. We're going to get to all of that. I'm being called a homer on the internet, which just always cracks me up because I get called a homer one day and then a hater the next, which I like being right there in the middle. I like the drama that's going on with the media and D'Amico Ryans, though, Joe. Like, this is the man version of Bravo.
Yes.
This is the man's version of the Real Housewives of New York, or insert your major market city. These are the real husbands of pro football fans that we're currently seeing. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But the Texans with a much-needed victory yesterday. Really a controlling, dominating victory.
It's always
victory.
Fun to win.
Didn't say that in the score, really. Like an 11-point victory, you look at some of these numbers. You outgained the 49ers by twice as many yards as they put up, 475 to 223. Time of possession, 41.5 minutes to 18.5 minutes. Like, it obviously could have been a lot more than an 11-point game. It was a one-possession game, too, going into the fourth quarter. It could have very easily been a blowout. But a much-needed victory. And the thing that I was the most curious about, Joseph George, was I wanted to see how the Texans handled adversity. Like, how did they handle the fact that they were 2-4 and were embarrassed on Monday Night Football and looked terrible and you had all the drama? People were calling for Caserio's head. Is C.J. Stroud going to be here? Do you want to pay Stroud? Is D'Amico Ryans the guy for the job? I mean, it was brought up that D'Amico might not be here next year if they really want an offensive mind to lead this team. So, like, we heard the whole gambit last week. So I wanted to see how they handled it all, and this is what they needed to do. They could have room for improvement, and look, we won't ignore in victory what we would in defeat. We never do. We're consistent with our complaints, but this is what they needed to do. They handled adversity well, and we move on with the season where, okay, a little bit of hope again for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. I don't think you even mentioned Nico Collins and not having Christian Kirk. Not that that one doesn't matter as much, but not having Nico out there, like, how are you going to handle what's the offense going to look like? How are you going to move forward off of the previous game? They checked all the boxes in terms of that, of handling adversity, of having a bounce back performance. And I'm with you, like they could have won this game by a lot more, but it also never really felt close, even though it's an 11-point win. They dominated San Francisco pretty much from start to finish. I mean, Mac Jones has some really nice throws in this game that helped keep San Francisco in it, but for the most part, like, you controlled their passing game. You didn't let Christian McCaffrey do anything in this one, so your defense was as advertised, and your offense was way better than it's been this entire season, except for really the Baltimore game. And again, this is a team that, like Baltimore, has a lot of injuries, but they've been playing a lot better, you know, this season, even with the injury. So this is a good win for the Texans. It was much needed. Like, you lose this game, and those conversations we were having last week are turned up to 11. this week, and they quieted all of it, and now we get the fun drama that comes out of it. I'm with you. It's entertaining to see the little tit for tat that we're getting in the media and D'Amico right now.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to D'Amico firing back at the media, which I love every bit of it. I love that he's going after the media after they were calling for his job last week. It's funny to me. But anyways, like the competition, I think is a good conversation. Like the caliber of the opponent, maybe that's the best way to put it. Because look, I didn't put much in the Titans victory. That was a game at halftime, really took you up until the fourth quarter before you really got going. Whatever, like that doesn't move the needle much for me. The Baltimore Ravens game at the time didn't move the needle for me. Depleted team, first week without Lamar. Now the Ravens haven't played terrible since then, but at the time didn't really move the needle. I really wouldn't move the needle a whole lot still based on that game. Yesterday, like I've seen this too, like the Niners, the JV, bunch of injuries, and all those things are true. So I guess the question is, what caliber of opponent do you think the Texans beat yesterday?
I'd say like a middle level opponent, still a playoff team opponent. Like this, they beat the Falcons, they lost to the Buccaneers, but they beat the Rams. And like their injuries have been here for a while. These injuries are not brand new, kind of like they were when you played Baltimore. So they do have good wins on their schedule, and they're going to get healthier. So like you're likely just beat a playoff team in the end of the season, but they're kind of in that middle range of the NFL because of their injuries. They're not a top team anymore, but they're also not a bottom dweller like Baltimore was when you played them, or like the Tennessee Titans just are for the entire season. So that's why like it's like you could have really made an argument that the Texans, like you look at the line, like they're barely favored in this game. We were wondering all weekend, like why were they favored in this game? They proved it. So I think it's like a middle level opponent, I would say.
Yeah, I think 9-8 probably. Like I don't think much of the 49er team that you beat yesterday. I think it's the best win that you've had, quite frankly. You've won three games, Titans, Ravens, now the Niners. I think it was the best win that you've had. And I would say probably the best performance, too. I know the Ravens, like, you put up more points and all that, but I don't think the Ravens were very good that week. I think the Niners are much better yesterday than the Ravens were whenever you played them. But like you mentioned, like, they beat Atlanta. Like, Atlanta scored 10 points against this team last week. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I understand Atlanta hasn't looked good the last couple of weeks, but Penix played last week. They still have Bijan Robinson. Now, Tampa Bay did get him for 30. Yeah, you still had Drake London. Like, this defense last week gave up 10 points against a pretty good offense. So I do think that it's better than a zero. Like, I do think it's better than a 5-12 team. Like, the Titans are going to be in the mix for the first pick in the NFL draft. It's much better than that. The Baltimore Ravens haven't won many games. What is it, two? This is a much better win than that. Now, do I think they were a 5-2 football team, like their record indicated going into the game? No, I don't think that. I think they were an average to a slightly above average team, and the Texans look really good against an average to a slightly above average team. I still need to see it against a really good defense. I still need to see it against really good competition. Like this win doesn't make it for me where like, oh yeah, the Texans are going to rattle off, you know, the next eight games, and they're going to storm back and be a contender in the playoffs. I'm not there, but this is just the checkbox which you had to do in order to get there at some point.
Yeah, you set yourself up perfectly to be in a position where you play the Broncos this weekend, and you now have got a chance to prove it against a team that is a real legit 6-2. We'll see what's up with Patrick Surtain by this game. But like, the Broncos are for real. Like, if you can roll what you did this week into the Broncos game, then we can have, I think, different conversations. But even from we knew the Texans defense was good, but you go back to the Atlanta game, I mean, Christian McCaffrey had 200 yards from scrimmage in that game, and they shut him down in this one. Like, we knew the Texans defense was good. I know people want to talk mostly about the offense and how they performed, but you just continue to prove again in this game that you have an elite defense in the NFL, and you can win games, you can shut guys down, and they did that. So, like, they checked all the boxes for me this weekend. Like, there's a couple of things, like you said, like we'll nitpick and we'll talk about what went wrong in this game and where they need to improve. But I would feel very happy if I was a member of the Texans right now with how they performed in that game, basically from start to finish. They played good football and they beat a team that's a solid team. So they did the first step in the process of maybe the Texans can be okay.
Yeah, this is the performance they had to have. They did it. And look, maybe it's just given us a false sense of hope. Like, it could be that. It absolutely could be that. Because you go into the bye, like, looking somewhat good, and then you come out of the bye and you have the Seattle game, and it's like, uh-oh, that didn't look very good, and giving up on the season and all of that. So, like, it could be that. It could be the false hope of it all. I totally understand that. Would you consider the Texans hot, Joe? They've won three of their last four.
No. No, I don't think I would. I can't put them in like the hot category because of who two of the wins are against and how bad it was versus Seattle. So no, they don't get to warm, lukewarm, not hot.
It's been weird though. Like I mean 3 of 4 is 3 of 4. And like winning in the NFL is not easy to do. Let's call what it is. But you beat the team that could very potentially be the worst team in the NFL. You beat another team that the week you played them could have been the worst team in the NFL. You go into the bye, you get rested up. You played a good team. Like, are we calling Seattle great or are we calling them good? I think they're underrated. I think they were the most underrated team in the NFL at the time that you played them. But do I think they're a great team? I wouldn't consider them great. Maybe their strengths are your weaknesses, so like it exposed a bunch of different things. But I think they're good, not great. You lose convincingly to them, and then you beat a banged-up football team that does have 5 wins on the year. So I wouldn't consider it hot at all. No. I don't even know if – I think lukewarm might be the best way to describe it. I wouldn't even call it warm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even like arrow pointing up. I don't even know if I want to do that. I think it's pointing right down the middle. It's not really moving in either direction right now. I wouldn't say it's moving down anymore, but it's just – You're flat line. That's what the Texans are right now. And
sheesh, flat line. That's not a good. That means they're dead.
Well, I guess that's the wrong way to put it. I wasn't thinking from like a living versus dying perspective, but like they're even. Like that's what the Texans are. They're a almost 500 football team that has played really inconsistent. That has lost all 4 of their games this year by 8 points or less. So like that will be the narrative that I feel like starts to come to. You know, throughout this week of, well, you beat San Francisco, you've lost all these games by less than a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Like, maybe we were wrong about the Texans, but I want to wait till the – like, I cannot wait for Sunday to see how they perform against the Broncos because that, to me, is the first real, real test you've had. I mean, besides the Seattle game of, like, did you figure something else out, like, something out that is sustainable? Because that's the question is, like, what they did over this game in San Francisco – what can you repeat going forward? Because there's a lot of really good from CJ specifically and from the offense. Like, how much of that can you have again in the Denver game? But for this weekend, it was pretty good. Like, the offense was cooking most of this game.
So that's your litmus test right there.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos. I think it's fair. Like, the Broncos have looked really good. They killed the Cowboys yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
Cowboys aren't very good away from home, I've noticed. Like, they got beat by Carolina a couple of weeks ago away from home. Not too high on the Cowboys right now. Junkie on the text line, Texans are floating in tepid water.
That's fair.
It's not a good place to be, though.
It's
floating
not.
In tepid water. I wonder what that does for the body.
Probably not great. Probably not bad either.
Probably not wonderful. All right, lots to get to today. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We'll get to the top college football stories. Brian Kelly, who's going to coach LSU next year? Is LSU the best job that's currently open? Thoughts on the Rockets after 2 games? Who had the best win in the NFL? But let's talk about this Houston Texans offense. Joe alluded to it. C.J. Stroud played really good. D'Amico Ryan said after the game that he thinks it's the best game that C.J. Stroud has ever played. Casher trashed that. But this offensive performance looked really good. Are you taking it seriously? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio there. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. We're also on Twitter at ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I love football, and so do you. Football season is in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all year long. You're in Texas, and Texas is the best place to make picks and win money on Underdog, at least according to me, at least in my opinion. Playing Underdog is so easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, sacks, field goals made. Maybe you have a little man crush on a kicker and you want to play field goals made. You can do that. You can also pick teams on Underdog now. Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as dollar. Little Monday night football tonight for you to have some fun with. Washington at Kansas City. Do you know ball? Go prove it. Patrick Mahomes. What do you think about this? 274.5 passing yards. Feels like a lot. You like the higher or lower there? Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift's boo. Half a rushing or receiving touchdown. Higher or lower there? Marcus Mariota gets the start today for the Commanders. 198.5 passing yards. You like the higher? Do you like the lower there? You know ball. Go prove it on Underdog. Download the Underdog app right now and sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Underdog. Make picks. Win money. YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN. 713-780-3776. So this Houston Texans offense, Joe, was very good yesterday. C.J. Stroud, 30 of 39, 318 yards, threw two TDs, one interception. Stroud! That interception came at the end of the first half when they were chasing points. I'm really just throw away that interception. I don't care about it. Total yards, 475. They ran for 157, 41.5 minutes of the football. They did not get sacked. What'd you think of the Houston Texans offense, Joe?
C.J. was just, I thought he was decisive. I think a lot of the stuff we talked about last week, I thought just looked better in general for him. Like, there was a lot of moments even early in the game. There was a completion on, like, third and five to Noel, I think it was across the middle, where, like, last week I feel like C.J. Stroud starts running backwards and moving out of the pocket. And this week he stood his ground more, it felt like, and just leaned backwards a little bit but completed the pass instead of taking steps backwards. Like, that was good. I mean, the distribution without having Nico out there, like, getting it to pretty much everybody on the field was really effective. So I was really impressed with CJ's play in this game. He made throws that were really, really, really special throws this weekend.
Scotch says the fact that Nico was out opened up the passing game. It is kind of weird that he went nuts with no Nico. Now, I think it's more of a testament that he had a clean pocket, that he didn't get sacked. He had some pressures, but not many. In fact, it was the lowest pressure rate that they saw all year. It was like 21%, something like that. It was a really, really clean pocket for C.J. Stroud. I think that's more of the reason that he was able to go off as opposed to Nico Collins not being on the field. I really don't put any weight in that.
No, I mean, I've had theories that there's some quarterbacks that are better off without, like, that A-plus star wide receiver because they try to force him the ball. But he doesn't really do that. Like, he doesn't really force the ball to Nico Collins. He was just finding the open guys. Like that's – it didn't really matter where they were at on the field. He was just – he was concise and decisive with the passing decisions he was going to make. I mean, 30 completions total in this game to, what, like, 9 different players on this roster. He was just throwing it all over the field. He was the clean pockets. I'm with you. Like, that was the biggest benefit of it. But I just think even when he had people in his face, then he just looked much better in this game. He looked more comfortable in all of it throughout the game.
Yeah, I love when CJ stays in the pocket. Like, people are always like, they're always bullish on get him out of the pocket, run more. No. No, in the pocket, decisive, quick with the football. That's where he's always his best. I thought he was really good too. The few times that he was pressured, I thought he was really good at handling the pressure, which wasn't the case last week against Seattle. Whether it was drifting back, getting himself in trouble, he didn't have pressure very often. So it's a smaller sample size. But the pressure that he did face, he was much better at it. So I thought it was a very encouraging game for CJ. First time he's thrown for 300 yards since October 6th, 2024, oof, which it's like, wow, that's a long drought for CJ Stroud. But no, I thought it was a good game plan. I think you have to tip your cap to Nick Cayley, too. Like, hey, you had a good game plan against a depleted, injured, average defense. I don't know what we want to call them. But the protection held up. You saw more 6 offensive linemen stuff. You didn't have your best playmaker in Nico Collins, yet you were able to rack up over 450 yards. I think you have to tip your cap, no matter the opponent here. Tip your cap at Stroud. Tip your cap at Nick Cayley.
Yeah, and look, what they did on third down, like that to me is really the best indicator of how good the offense was. CJ Stroud was 11 for 11 for 104 yards and a touchdown on third down. It's literally perfect. Like, what else can you ask for from a quarterback in this situation? When you need to convert on third down, he is completing passes on a regular basis, or literally in this game, every single time. So it's definitely a hat tip to Nick Caley in this game to see, because I just felt like the offense just looked different in general. It felt like the guys were more open, and yeah, that goes back to what you just said about depleted versus, you know, just not being as good as maybe the 49ers defense has been in the past. But Robert Saleh has had C.J. Stroud's number his entire career so far, like Mike McDonald did on Monday Night Football in his entire career. So guys were just open, and C.J. was just finding them. So I think they deserve a lot of credit no matter what the 49ers defense looked like this weekend. It was almost a flawless game.
Scotch is pushing back at you. He, Stroud, definitely forces a nick to Nico. That's why Higgins' first three games, one target, one reception in all three games. Most targets for other receivers all season. So Scotch disagrees with you. That's the counterpoint on that one, Joe. 713-780-3776. I thought it was interesting that they ran three quarterback sneaks after not running a quarterback sneak last year. And some people said it was a blunder that that C.J. Stroud didn't try a quarterback sneak, which I would have liked to see a quarterback sneak. I think it's a little different doing it against San Francisco's front than it is Seattle's front, who is pushing the Texans' front back the entire night. I think there's a little bit of a difference there. But it was kind of funny that Nick Caley got bullied into calling a bunch of quarterback sneaks yesterday.
I didn't love the first one, I think it was, where like he took a step backwards and then to the right to follow his guy. Like that was, I feel like that one's not going to work again. I think you just have to kind of go straight forward if you're there, if you're doing a quarterback sneak. But, yeah, it feels like they got bullied.
Yeah.
Like they heard. I mean, if anything, today is clear, and so was yesterday after the game. They listened to everything the media says. So them getting bullied into quarterback sneaks is definitely a strong possibility for this last game. But it was nice to see him run them and be good at them.
Yeah. I thought it was a critical point of the game, too. Like, we talked about the Texans controlled it. San Francisco did make it a one-possession game, late third, early fourth, after that touchdown. I thought it was critical that the Texans go get points there. Like, just go ahead in this momentum. You score here. It's going to be very difficult for San Francisco to win this game. So San Fran scores, 8-point game. You go, and it was only a field goal drive. Like, it wasn't a touchdown. But, hey, there's a huge difference between a one-possession game and a two-possession game, especially in the fourth quarter. I thought that was critical. But then they coupled that by getting a stop on San Francisco's next possession. So Niners make it a one-possession game. Texans add a field goal. It's an 11-point game now. And then they force a punt immediately and get the football back. I thought the game was over at that point.
Yeah, and then on the 49ers' next drive, after you punt, you got an interception. Like you that field goal allowed you to play more aggressively, I think, as a defense. So that's where you played good complementary football in this game. I mean, D'Amico will always say things about the three phases, but all three phases, at least in terms from a kicking perspective for Kaimi, from field goals, that was all good. Being able to get that punt, you're right, in what, -1 yards on the possession, three plays, -1 yards. That's all they were able to get to shut them down. You took all the wind out of that game at that moment by getting the field goal and then stopping them immediately. But then following that up with the interception, you just made it basically impossible for the 49ers to get a win.
Rocky, not trying to be negative, but was yesterday's offense a testament of getting better or more fool's gold? Funny you use gold since you're talking about the 49ers, because San Francisco's defense is awful.
I would say it's not to be super negative also, but like I would lean a little more fool's gold. Just because I want to see it. I want to see it against a good team. I want to see 300 yards against a good team from C.J. Stroud. I want to see be this efficient on third down. So because of how bad it's been at times, I have to say it's a little more fool's gold, but it still is a testament to the short week and the improvement they made from Monday to Sunday about what the offense looked like at the same time.
Yeah, I'm like 55-45. Like, the offense did look good. Like, I'm not going to hate on the offense, but the Niners' defense with what they were putting out there ain't fantastic. They weren't able to generate a pass rush, but where I will give C.J. Stroud credit is the times that they did, C.J. Stroud had an answer and maybe took him out of blitzing more, like sending more guys at C.J. Stroud. So, again, it was a positive. Now, I also think you can relate some things to, like if you're playing your big brother in basketball versus your little brother in basketball, there's things that you can do against your little brother that you're not even going to attempt against your big brother, you know? Like, it's a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a little, maybe not so much San Francisco, but Tennessee and Baltimore, you're playing your little brother. Seattle, you're playing your big brother, and it looks totally different because you're outmatched, you're outmanned. So that's why I think your point about Denver is an interesting one because, okay, this is your big brother, Denver. They're a really good defense. You haven't, shown any success against a good defense. Niners the best one, but they're depleted. So next week you're playing your big brother, and until the Texans' offense can do it against a better defense, a top half of the league defense, that's when I'll take them seriously. I still can't take their offense seriously. It's what you needed to see, but I still can't be like, oh, yeah, this is an offense that's trending to be a top half of the NFL offense.
Yeah, they checked the boxes, and they showed what you wanted to see in this one. They did exactly what to not have your season totally unravel and to not be demanding for more people to get fired. They achieved everything they needed to in this weekend. So it's a very positive weekend still, even though you're right. It's their little brother, a little bit, mm-hmm. the 49ers right now.
713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Dave, you're in the junkyard with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Dave?
Towards, I think he forces it sometimes when he has Nico there. Not saying, obviously, Nico is the man on the team. We get that. But it's almost like when you're playing basketball, you have to teach yourself to shoot with your left hand. We know the right hand is the best one, but when you need the left hand, you're prepared. And I know I'm biased because I had money on Woody against Seattle catching balls out of the backfield. But he was open a lot, and Nico kept throwing. Stroud kept throwing it to Nico. So I do think that sometimes you can just get caught up, and then you're forcing some where, and I thought yesterday it was all over the place because it had to go all over the place. All right, that's it. I just want to say that.
Yeah, I guess my pushback is, maybe he's waiting for Nico to get open, and that's what's causing some of the issues. But Nico was only targeted 10 times in the Seattle game. He's only being targeted.
It's a lot.
Not for a number one wide receiver, I don't think it is.
10 targets?
I mean, Schultz got 10 targets in that same game.
Yeah, that was a product of the game. Jaylen, like, 10 targets is a substantial amount. Like, there's games where you only get 45, 50 plays.
Yeah, I mean, they threw 49 times, and he got a fifth of the targets.
I think you're being shaded by what Ja'Marr Chase has gotten with Flacco, because like 10 targets per game would be 170 targets. That'd lead the league most years.
I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba last week got 50% of the targets, basically.
That's an offense that's skewed to heavily feed him. They have no one nearer Jackson Smith than Jigba.
I don't think throwing to Nico like in that last Seattle game, one fifth of the time is forcing targets to Nico.
Yeah, I would stop short of that too. I don't think it's necessarily forcing. But it's not a low amount.
Yeah, no, I didn't say. I don't think I said it was a low amount, but it's like it was more open. I guess maybe he's looking for Nico more, but it's. I don't think it's ever been an issue with Nico being on the field. Like, I don't think Nico being off is the reason why the offense was so good this weekend.
No, I don't either. I think if you had to say what is the one reason the Houston Texans had offensive success yesterday, what would it be?
The protection.
Yeah, I think you can say many things before you say because Nico was off the field, or even reach that Nico was off the field, because I would say protection too. Like, you could say protection, you could say the fact that Stroud had time, you could say the fact that Stroud didn't get sacked at all, you could say that he had a season low pressure rate, like all of those. You could even say because C.J. Stroud had a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not – Nico Collins isn't in the – Nico Collins being off the field isn't in the top 10 reasons that the Texans had offensive success yesterday. And he wouldn't be on the list at all for me.
Yeah, I mean, they also had 157 rushing yards yesterday. Like, that's, I'm guessing, their season high. If not, it's top two, I would imagine, this season total, because we haven't really seen a run game happen at all this year. So having the protection, having the run game, that to me is what ultimately led to the success elsewhere on the field.
You taking this offense seriously? 713-780-3776. A couple of other bright spots on the offensive side. We'll have the defensive conversation at some point as well. Your thoughts on the Texans beating the Niners in convincing fashion? 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy. It is Joe. It is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Are you looking for a little getaway around the holidays? Are you looking for something to do around the breaks? You're going to get some time off work. You're looking for somewhere to take the kids. You're looking for somewhere to take the missus or even the mister. Get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and bustle of the job. Whatever's causing you stress. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston is the best getaway idea. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. You got the open green spaces out there. You got the wildlife you don't see in the city, which always, I think, sparks around the fall, too. Get to see even more of it. They're out when the weather gets a little cooler. Beautiful mature trees and also some of the best fishing in Texas. You got the two creeks that run alongside their property. You got the catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which is great for the kiddos. You can't beat it. It's also just 90 minutes from Houston. You're there in an hour and a half. What other great getaway can you say that about? You're not in the car for hours upon hours. You're not messing with the TSA at the airport. No, you're there in an hour and a half. You can escape the city without going too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Hike their 92 acres of property. They got some kayaking for you. They got pickleball courts. They got a pool, of course. They got drinks, of course, right there at Swampers. They got glamping. They got the cabins. They got the tree houses. If you have an RV, pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. They're always taking care of their visitors, too. Thirsty Thursday, this Thursday, a little frozen Friday coming up. It's Halloween weekend. That's going to be great out at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Always a great time to have at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. So book that stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com. YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I'm taking some shots on how I'm dressed today. I'm wearing a button-up and a tie. Jacket's in the truck, just to paint the picture. Junkie on the text line, Brandon looks like a mobster that would set up rigged poker games today. Not today, but maybe tonight. You're invited. Did Brandon finally get that server gig at our favorite local Italian restaurant? Hey, look, times are tough. You got to make a few extra bucks, squeeze some pennies together. Got to do what you got to do. Got to put some food on the table for the family, you know, for the family. 713-780-3776. You said it was Andrew, Brian?
Yes.
Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Andrew, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Israel. Hmm. Hey, I don't know where you got Andrew from, but look at him, man. Hey. The offensive line came through, man. And I don't think they got bullied into the quarterback sneak. They should have been doing it. I've been advocating for it. They should have been doing it, and they got a new wrinkle. When all them close, when they've been on the goal line and pitching the ball off, you know what I mean, and CJ not under center, they figured it out. I don't know what took them so long to figure it out. And everybody acting like San Francisco, it's a bum team. It was tied for first in the West. They was a good squad. And they shut their running back down. I forgot his name. Who went off the week before.
How'd you forget his name? How did you forget Christian McCaffrey's name, Israel?
Yeah, maybe that's why. I know.
He's a stud. How do you Israel, you're banned the rest of the day. You're not. How do you now he's done. Hang up on Israel. He forgot Christian McCaffrey's name. I thought that was a solid call, Israel.
Well, maybe it's
apologize for getting you Andrew.
The intern got his name wrong, so he forgot Christian McCaffrey's name.
I mean, I apologize, Israel. I don't know how he got Andrew from Israel. That's rough. But you know, he's hard of hearing. You know, we don't want to make fun of the deaf. We never make fun of the blind around here. Why would we make fun of the deaf? We got to be consistent.
Well, I didn't say that, but that's what I meant.
Yeah. How do you forget Christian McCaffrey's name?
I don't know. I don't know.
You can't come in and have a solid take and then be like, oh, yeah, what's that 49er running back name? I forgot it. No. No, Israel, you prove that you don't know ball. How do you forget Christian McCaffrey's name?
Maybe he was talking about Brian Robinson.
No, he was not. And look, the Texans did do a very good job against Christian McCaffrey. We'll talk about the defense here in a little bit. But I am baffled. Baffled. How Israel forgot the name of Christian McCaffrey.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look. That was a good call, Israel. Thank you for calling.
Look, Niners, you're banned for today. Banned for the rest of the day, Israel. You don't forget Christian McCaffrey's name on Jeremy and Joe and get your opinion heard amongst the dozens and dozens of listeners. That's not going to happen. 49ers are ranked 26th in points. No, wait. Yeah, where they are defensively. They're ranked 8th in points allowed, okay, defensively. That's pretty good. Now, they've had some injuries along the way this year. I don't think that they're going to play the rest of the year to a top 10 defense in points allowed. But they're 22nd in yards allowed. So, like, who are they? Especially the team that you saw yesterday. I think most people would say kind of middle of the pack. And that might be generous.
Yeah, and I'm guessing they're going to have some good turnover luck then if you're that low on yards but you're that high on points. You're probably right. Like, they're going to look more like that. But maybe the Texans are the team that broke him, Jeremy. They broke the 49ers. That's
you think
happened.
They broke the Niners, huh?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they broke them or not.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. Another junkie on the text line. If Nico's not open, he'd still throw it to him. I'm not reading that one from the junkie. I'm not reading that one from the junkie. I thought Braxton Berrios was good, Joe. I thought that was the unsung hero in yesterday's game. I thought he was incredibly solid. You could say he was dancing with the stars, even.
He was good. He was good. It's still more Braxton Berrios than I want in my life, though.
Why?
I want more than
that. How could you have a productive game and you're like, hey, I don't want you to play?
No, I didn't say that. It's a little more than I want in my life.
What do you? He had 5 targets. He played like 37 snaps or something.
I mean, there was also a lot of Jared Wayne in our life yesterday. This isn't a complaint about necessarily.
He's a blocker.
It's more about the health of the wide receiver core than anything. But I mean, yeah, Berrios was good. 5 catches on 5 targets. He gave you pretty much everything you needed to in this game.
I mean, Berrios was clutch on third down. Mm-hmm. He was running through tackles, and you're sitting here forgetting his name like you're Israel or something.
I didn't forget
his
name.
What's your disdain for Braxton Berrios?
I don't want a little less of him in my life.
I think you might be a little racist towards
your
wide
receivers. No, I want more of Noel than I want Berrios.
You don't like white receivers, huh? That's what it is.
I liked Wes Welker.
Huh?
I liked Wes Welker.
You liked him as a Texan?
No, not really.
He was a coach, right? I don't think he ever played.
Yeah, I don't think he ever played.
Amendola played. He wasn't fantastic. Kevin Walter? I mean, Kevin Walter has to be the best Texans white wide receiver of all time, right?
David Anderson.
David Anderson's fun for a year.
You're nuts. David Anderson isn't in Kevin Walter's league.
I know. He's just a friend. So we like.
He's a friend? You're a friend. You have his number?
Yes.
Get him on the air.
Okay. I used to produce a show, Jeremy.
I didn't know that.
We worked together, all 4 of us at one place.
I've never, ever dealt with David Anderson.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've never talked to the man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can text DA right now.
Okay.
Joe's been holding back on us.
That's not true. We had this discussion this weekend, Brian.
We did, but you've been holding back on us until that conversation this weekend.
That's fair. But Braxton Berrios was fine, Jeremy. He was
fine.
He was
ready to demote him.
He was good. I just want more. I want more of the younger guys. They were awesome. I want more of them. That's a fair ask.
Well, how about we shift it? Can we get maybe less of what's his name, Jared Wayne, and more of Jalen Noel?
Jared Wayne played a lot.
He played more than Jalen Noel.
But you know, he started the game, too.
I'm guessing that's all blocking related?
I think so. I think he's a better blocker. Jalen Noel's not. 36 carries. He did throw it 39 times, too, though. So, like, you can use context there. But at the same time, they did pass it more than they ran. So,
not by much, though.
3 more times. I mean, I said the amount.
Not by much.
No, not by much, but if he's only playing 35% of the snaps or whatever, and Wayne's playing 50% of the snaps, and he's like, well, he's in there because they're running the ball more. Well, they still passed it more than they ran.
Yeah, but he's probably out there on every run play, I would imagine. Because you're like Hutchinson's not out there on run plays. I mean, mostly it looked like it was Higgins and Wayne on all the run plays. That was kind of the adjustment it looks like they made for this week without Nico.
Feels like that would be a pretty bad tell if that's the case. Let's just put out the big guys.
Yeah, I mean, they were up by 2 possessions most of the game, though. Like, I don't think it's really a surprise.
I'm more talking for, like the Broncos and teams coming up after that will look at the tape and scout that.
Sure, but you can use that to your advantage. Like, you don't think they're aware of that? Like, hey, this guy's playing this much on passing plays. If they're not aware of that, they're stupider than we think. Like, I think they have that information.
You would think so. You'd hope so.
I think we're being incredibly brand new right now. Like, they are aware of that information. They're aware of how much Jared Wayne and Xavier Hutchinson and Jalen Noel are playing on pass plays versus run plays.
Of course they are.
That's rudimentary stuff.
Yes. I mean, this is the same team, though, the beginning of the year. Like, when they were under center, they ran it, and when they were in shotgun, they passed it. So, I don't know.
There's also teams that are like, who cares? Like, the Buffalo Bills are the most, Bills are the most predictable. Now the Buffalo Bills are just like, well, we're just way better than
you. Yeah, they have a quarterback that can cover it up.
Yeah, but they're aware of the information.
I don't know if that's a good thing, though. If they're aware of it, they don't do anything to disguise it.
This was one game of Jared Wayne. This is the only game, and they're up multiple possessions. I think you're reaching here, Brian.
Possessions, but you were concerned that they're... I remember seeing your tweet yesterday. I can't believe this is a 1-score game going to the fourth quarter.
After they scored, I was upset by that. They only had one possession, though. It was a 1-possession game.
Yeah. I'm not concerned about the Niners game. I'm just, if it's still a trend going forward is where the concern is.
They can use it to their advantage in the Niners game. They're going to throw a curveball.
They're going to throw it deep to Jared Wayne on the first play of the game.
Take out another wide receiver?
Yep. Hey, that's mean.
Yeah, you know, how do you want him taken out? Kevin Walter, best running, best blocking receiver for the Texans in history. Yeah, it's a good call. No doubt about that. All right, 713-780-3776. Job of this defense, holding the Niners. This Niner offense is pretty dang good. Mac Jones led the NFL in passing yards per game coming into this game. Texans held him to 193. Christian McCaffrey. They held him to 25 rushing yards. What did you make of this Houston Texans defense? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
They do call me the Huntington Beach bad boy. 713-780-3776. Rack and Pete, I can't comment on the Texans defense. Being a Cowboys fan, I don't know what a good defense looks like. Facts. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. 713-780-ESPN. Lamont, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's going on, Lamont?
Hey, what's up, Jeremy and Joe, man? In August, July, I had this team at 5-2, and the two teams that had them losing against was Baltimore and the 49ers. Funny how this season played out, but oh well. I'm gonna try to say this, man, because I know you guys got some pushback about it. I think that this game would have been completely different if Nico Collins was in the game, and I know that this goes for every team. Every team have they stood wide receivers and stuff like that, but it just seems like if Nico was in this game, crybaby man, emotional man, would have been trying to force the ball to him. It could have been completely different. And what I seen yesterday was he had to distribute the ball all over the field and stuff. I like what he did yesterday. I'm not one of those people that's just going to talk down on the man, because I have. He played a damn good game yesterday, but I was just wondering if Nico is really his crutch, that he just feels that he just got to get it to Nico, or even Tank Dell for that matter. If Tank Dell is like that, that's all I have, fellas. I'm out.
I think it's more of with Nick Caley, if anything. Like, did he call plays differently, Jeremy? Like, is he scheming things open for other guys more? Like, is he more aware of what it is? I guess maybe people do think Nico is forced the ball more than I do, because I don't really feel that way when I watch it. But maybe I'm the odd man out here, Jeremy. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I guess we'll tell when Nico comes back. Like, we'll see how much he's getting the football thrown his way. But look at Nico's games. Like, Nico last four games, 10 targets, 5 targets, 6 targets, 11 targets, 9 targets, 5 against the Rams. That's not a ton. That's not a ton of targets for Nico Collins. That's not a ton of targets for the number one receiver in the NFL. He's at 46 targets through 6 games. He had 99 through 12 games last year. Like, he's below his current pace. He had 109 targets through 15 games the year that C.J. Stroud went nuts his rookie year. I don't think it's a forcing thing. I think it's more that the offense has been mostly bad. The protection hasn't been there. The pressure rates have been high. Stroud has not been handling the pressures well. I don't put much stock into he's better because Nico Collins was off the field at all, quite frankly. Now, do I want my quarterback force feeding a receiver, or do I want him throwing to the open man based on what the defense is giving me? Give me the latter. But I haven't felt like that's been the issue for the Houston Texans.
No.
Why have the Texans struggled offensively? Because they're protecting C.J. Stroud very poorly. They can't run the ball, and Stroud hasn't been very good.
I think this game is more just is the reflection of that there were guys open, and C.J. Stroud found them.
Yeah.
And that is what has to continue going forward. Whether Nico's on the field or Christian Kirk's on the field or none of them are on the field. Like, you have to find the guys that are open. It's really that simple, and it feels like the pressure – The lack of pressure from the 49ers, what your offensive line did in this game, that's what you got. Like you got wide open guys because he had the time to throw. So that's the question, like, if you can repeat that going forward, because I think C.J. Stroud can have this level of performance more often than not if he has a sense of, I'm not going to die back here.
I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. How about this defense? 15 points against an offense that has been playing really, really good. Mac Jones has been throwing a bunch of yards. Christian McCaffrey's been unbelievable. And all the Texans do is hold the Niner offense to 223 yards. They hold Mac Jones to 193 passing yards. They hold McCaffrey to 25 rushing yards. Now, he did have 43 yards in the air, but you hold McCaffrey to 68 total yards. That's really, really good. The defense got some help from the offense yesterday because the offense stayed on the field. Niners didn't have the ball a ton yesterday. But again, a dominant defensive performance for what has become one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, it's not shocking to me because even the Mac Jones plays, he had a couple throws that were really, really impressive. The touchdown to Kittle, the one to Jennings in the corner that led to, I think, to the touchdown to Tongas. Like, he had good throws, but the good throw, like the big plays they had, he had to have the best throws of his game. Like, there was nothing easy for him in this one. I don't even feel like the game script really dictated that McCaffrey only had to have 8 rushes in the game. It's more the fact that, I guess, because they didn't have the ball a lot, maybe they felt they just had to throw. So I guess that's technically game script. But the defense was just as good as it's always been. None of what they did was shocking to me yesterday. MJ No. Stewart was the only one that I was like, not a great day.
Yeah, nothing really stood out to me for the MJ Stewart, though. I guess he did get burned on that ball that Bourne didn't complete. Mm-hmm. Like, that could have very easily been an explosive that I thought was a catchable ball, and he was beat. That's a good call. Like, that was the one play there. But Lassiter had the big-time interception. Like, that was a big-time interception. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was a good ball by Mac Jones. Like, he underthrew it. But if that goes the other way, Niners score there. All of a sudden, it's a one-possession game again. San Francisco has 2 timeouts. Like, uh-oh, you're starting to sweat a little bit. So it was a clutch pick by Lassiter. And then Will Anderson's an absolute beast, man. Like, that guy is a freak show.
Yeah, he's just there all the time causing chaos. I find myself having a hard time watching the rest of the defense when he's out there. I just want to watch what Will Anderson's doing on a daily basis.
Daily basis?
Or on a game-by-game basis.
This junkie says Anderson could have had a couple of roughing the passer penalties that weren't called for making contact with the quarterback's helmet. He needs to be more careful. That's a good call. He did hit Mac, I think, twice, maybe more. Got him in the helmet. I thought they could have been called, too, and got away with it. He also jumps off sides a lot. Not a lot, but
he anticipates a lot, and it's going to bite him at some point, it feels like, though.
Yeah, he needs to, nitpicking, sure. But if you're not nitpicking whenever they're winning, you shouldn't be nitpicking whenever they're losing. You got to be consistent with your nitpicking.
Yeah,
you
know? I do feel like you're right about the stuff to the helmet as well, like the texter said, but it's just so hard because in my mind, I'm with you. Like, that looks like a penalty because that's typically what they call, but I also don't think they should be penalties. So I don't
but
really
they are.
Want him to. I know, but they weren't called in this game.
No, they weren't. They should have been. I think the Niners had a K. I mean, you can't touch them in a helmet. It's the penalty. It's a penalty. Like, if they're in the pocket, you touch them with your paw on their helmet, it's a penalty. So, yeah, I think they got away with that. Do you think it's weird to go for it 4th-and-1 at the 24, but not 4th-and-2 at the 15?
Yes.
That was kind of odd to me.
I don't understand what's the reasoning behind it. Why'd you change from the first time to the second time?
That yard's a big difference, Joe.
I guess.
I mean, D'Amico doesn't go based on the analytics here because there's not an analytical thing that's telling you not to go for it 4th-and-2 at the 15. The analytics are telling you to go both times. Go for it 4th-and-1 at the 24 and 4th-and-2 at the 15. So he's definitely going off of vibes, which I'm actually okay with. I like it when a manager, a head coach in this case, goes more based on what he's seeing than what the computers tell him. Because, look, that 4th-and-1 when they snuck it, like you mentioned this earlier, like there was contact behind the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Now, if that happened again, 4th-and-2 at the 15, you don't get points after a long 9-minute drive or whatever it was. I like that D'Amico goes based on his hunches. I think I would have went for it 4th-and-2 at the 15, though.
I think I would have, too. Like, I mean, if the way you're moving the ball, why not go for it? Unless you just don't trust your play caller, but then do it. I don't know. I don't really get. Maybe because the play was a negative 1-yard run the play before it, and it got blown up.
I bet you that's what it was.
Because it looked that 3rd-and-1 did look very similar to the issues that we saw the week before against Seattle, or Monday night against Seattle. So that maybe that's why that, like, every time if you actually look through this drive more, like, their last 3 running attempts were for negative 1 yard, 1 yard, and 1 yard, and this is all with 6 offensive linemen on the field. So I guess that's the vibes part of it. And I'm good with the vibes as long as that's what it always is. I think of Brandon Staley when he couldn't make up his mind about who he wanted to be as a head coach, where sometimes he would use analytics, sometimes he would use vibes. at first he would just always go for it, and he couldn't pick up, like, couldn't decide who he wanted to be as a head coach. That's my only thing with D'Amico. Like, just don't, like, just stick to your guns. Whatever they're going to be, stick to it. So if it's always going to be vibes, then just don't ever listen to your nerds that work for you.
There's a lot of nerds around there, too.
There are.
It's a lot of nerds. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the drama that everybody's talking about. The drama. The real husbands of Houston Texans. D'Amico's going at the media after the media went at him last week. Whose side are you on here? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I can be bought. Whoever's side has Higgins boat rum. That's what side I'm on. You got to get some Higgins boat rum. You got to get your paws on this because it is fantastic. It's instantly going to be your favorite. It's rum on a mission. Higgins Boat Rum is the Texas bourbon drinker's rum. It is bold. It is smooth. It is delicious. And it's also steeped in history and honors the greatest generation, too. Perfect to sip neat on the rocks, a big rock, too. It's also excellent for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails, maybe like an old-fashioned Manhattan, or maybe the classics, maybe a Cuba Libre, maybe a Mai Tai. Higgins Boat Rum also pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope to support our veterans. Tip your cap to that. So you're honoring heroes with every pour of Higgins Boat Rum. It also uses the Presedo craft technology. We've grown to love that. We know all what that is. Makes it smoother, enhances the natural flavors. It also gets rid of all those terrible, harsh elements that make you feel bad in the morning. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all socials to get tasty cocktail ideas, behind-the-scenes stories, live updates, too. Also, if you're going to be out at the Rice homecoming game on the 8th, make sure you stop by the Higgins Boat Rum tailgate. They're going to be out there. It's going to be a great time. This is a premium, top-shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now at the Total Wine in Baybrook and always at HigginsBoatRum.com. Shipping to 48 states across the U.S. at HigginsBoatRum.com. Crafted by the bold, inspired by the brave.